and welcome to Bill Mackay in the Auckland studio.
You're Catherine.
There is a new government coming. It's a majority for Labor, so yeah. No excuses really are there on carrying out some of their more ambitious plans. And what are you focusing on when it comes to urban matters?
Well, I'll be keeping a keen eye on the operation of the new Urban Development Authority. The legislation giving it teeth has been coming through. And now it's time to go. So various brownfield developments, such as 2,000-plus dwellings on the Unitech site in Pointshev, Mount Albert, I'll be following that one very closely. And also the big one is changes to the RMA. And the RMA is it's good in protecting the natural environment. I was very involved with the Waterview Connection, the new motorway tunnel that went under neighbourhoods rather than through them.
It's going under you right now. We should point out there's some drilling happening in RMZ,
so Auckland. We're so shovel-weary up here that we're just launching straight into the new infrastructure.
Apologies, listeners.
Yeah. But I doubt if we would have got the good result out of that, a tunnel. And the other mitigation, shared paths for pedestrians, cycles, playgrounds, et cetera, without the RMA. So, sure, it costs more, but it was better for everyone in the environment in the end. But in your average urban situation, it does add a lot of cost and time. And I'd say, for example, at least half the house alterations, new houses done by architects and designers, have required resource consents, often for quite minor things. Generally always approved, as effects on the neighbours have been pretty minor. But also, on the other hand, there have been plenty of horrible developments that happened through the RMA as well. So we need a much more efficient system, especially in urban environments, to handle these developments that allow growth and housing, but ensure quality. You know, that's the key thing that we have to keep an eye on in the end.
That's an interesting one, because we're going to get two new acts, and actually it was the National Leader I was talking to about whether one, you know, you think of Section 6 of the old RMA that balanced or endeavoured to balance environmental and economic concerns. Does that balance shift with two new acts? How do you weigh up one against the other?
I really need to do my homework much more on that, and we're all hearing various things at the moment and talking to each other, but hopefully the government will be a lot more open now, and we can figure out what will happen, because often the possibilities that come out of new legislation are not exactly what was envisaged. So, you know, we have to think it through a lot more.
The other matter, and we were talking about it first, is this infrastructure investment stuff, which, again, both major parties went into this election talking about doing a lot of building. They were going to build different things. Again, there's a very big mandate in there now. There's a hell of a lot of borrowing happening for the purposes of stimulus. What are you looking for, and how will it happen? Will it be the sitting down and a attempt to have a more coordinated plan, including with the industry that's got to do a lot of this building? What do you expect to happen?
Yeah. We've had people, for instance, prefabrication has got a bad name because of, you know, the classrooms that we were in when we were kids. But it's got so much to offer these days, and already a lot of buildings do have a high level of prefabrication. I'd really like to see more assistance in that area, because it will ramp up efficiency with people who know what they're doing a lot faster. So yes, coordination is one of the key things there. I'm not a great believer in big bureaucracies being able to deliver too much in that area. So kind of unleashing the talent and ability we've got here is what we need to do.
It's getting close to being a Monty Python skit. Sorry about this, Bill, with the work that's happening there at the moment. There's been very ambient noise right through the program today, listeners. We like to, you know, it's radio.
Yeah.
We like to have a little bit of the environment joining with us, but I do apologise for the extent of this. The other big question with the infrastructure plans, Bill, is the capacity, actually, both within the private and the public sector, for the scale of some of what is envisaged. And we know that we're competing offshore for a lot of talent in key positions. And this is in the private sector. In fact, big private sector companies have gone overseas trying to lure senior people back, or senior people here. Do we have a capacity problem for the scale of the ambition of the work?
We sure do, and hopefully this restructuring of the politics will see more people into trades and apprenticeships and that sort of thing. That's what we need to do, and you can make a good living out of it, as opposed to the gig economy, where it can be, what am I doing next month to pay the grocery bill? So, I'd like to see that shake up in the polytech sector, really encourage trade training.
But we're talking some pretty senior people, really. You're talking senior engineers, you're talking senior project managers. I mean, some of what's being discussed here is the kind of scale of construction of quite sophisticated facilities that we haven't seen, probably going back to the 70s. We've had enough trouble building roads, but, the pumped, I always forget the words here, some of the pumped hydro that's being talked about, that's a pretty sophisticated piece of engineering. We're talking about getting that, providing more facilities to encourage the development in the hydrogen sector. They are pretty sophisticated pieces of engineering.
Yeah, and we have a lot of talent here, but kind of that Waterview project, the tunnel I mentioned before, that was so reliant on overseas experts being able to come in and contribute to that as well. Yes, we definitely need to be more open to immigration in that area, whether it's short-term or long-term, and the talents that we've got. Maybe less chefs and restaurants and more engineers, perhaps.
Well, let's not even go near rail to the airport or anywhere else, although I know it's happening.
Yeah, and
rail almost to the airport at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, and they're the experts on public transport. We're not here. We're still doing it with diesel, for instance.
Now, also, of course, it's spring and there's some events that you want to highlight from your neck of the woods.
Yeah, I'll just mention a couple. Last week we had Art Week in Auckland. There's some terrific photos of student work on there. The previous spot talked about mushrooms, and you can see an image of a student who's looking at compressed dehydrated mushroom and fungus panels and using that add water, and you've got compost and mushrooms. So check out those images. And in Wellington Heritage Week next week, I'll be down there talking about is Wellington's modernism too ugly to love, with the architect Ken Davis. Julia Gatley will be talking about modern heritage on the weekend as well. But please go to the Otaki Children's Health Camp and have a look at the rotunda there that I talked about when I was talking about New Zealand's first pandemic hospitals. So heaps to see there. Have a look at the website. Just Google Wellington Heritage Week. And the lovely Futuna Chapel, probably the best building in the country, has an open day as well. So look at that website.
Well, being able to go anywhere is exciting at the moment, isn't it?
Yes, spring is in the air, as you say, and not so much COVID. And the other one is Auckland Architecture Week. It's a bit more constrained this year, but Object Spaces in Auckland's Ponsonby is basically the base for that. Exhibitions, lectures, all sorts of good stuff. Robin Allison having another book launch for her co-housing book, Earth Song Eco Village. So plenty to see there. And again, it'll be over before you know it. So Google NZIA, New Zealand Institute of Architects, what's on, or Object Space. Very exciting, very stimulating for the mahi that we have ahead in the urban environment.
So where do you grow your own fungi building? Is that in the Auckland one?
That's a student in his thesis year in our architecture school. And, of course, he wants to build a house out of it, but I'm saying, packaging would be fine, rather than recycling the cardboard, I'd rather put panels of mushrooms in my garden. And he's also experimenting with adding seeds to the mushroom as well, so it's really made compost for them. I can also see a terrific use in emergency housing, the pallets that take food and water up to the Pacific can be made out of this material as well. I'm going to be talking more about his work another time.
That's great, because the packaging in particular, everyone is desperate for solutions to some of what we're finding. Sorry for that completely random cross to Auckland today, where you were accompanied by an orchestra of drilling, but hey,
it's the new era.
It's the new era, apparently. thank you for your patience with it. Bill Mackay, Senior Lecturer in the School of Architecture and Planning at the University of Auckland.